everybody. What's up? And welcome to the OMC podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Travis Grant, and his New Year's resolution is to not be an ass. It's Phil Minella.
I didn't decide that. You decided that for me. I'm hoping that's my New Year's resolution.
If it's not your New Year's resolution, it should be, because if I could describe you in two words, it would be ass and then ass again.
Oh, okay. Perfect. So maybe if I get rid of one of the asses, we're in a better place.
It would be a start. It would definitely be a step in the right direction. But Phil, you just went on vacation. That's why I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week. So why don't you tell me, like, in 2 seconds, how was the wonderful wide world of Disney? I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time.
Disney was great. It was fantastic. I had a great time. Super proud of my mom and Morgan, Adam's girlfriend. They both ran the full freaking marathon there on Sunday.
That's awesome. I couldn't even imagine running a marathon.
Yeah, and then they each proceeded to go to all four of the Disney parks. So they're incredible human beings. Super proud of them.
So they logged more miles than my car.
Yeah, probably.
In a given week.
It's pretty impressive. Jeez. So they're great, awesome, wonderful. I'm super proud of them. That's why I was there. So as great as Disney World was, it's even cooler to see my mom and Morgan do that.
So you went to a couple different parks, right?
All four of the Disney parks. So Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, and Epcot.
And what was your favorite?
Hollywood Studios is always my favorite. Okay. But it's slowly not being about like what it is to be like. What it is to be like. Oh, my goodness. It's supposed to replicate what it's like to be at a Hollywood studio.
Okay. If we were better at podcasts, that would all be gone. But yeah. We're keeping it.
So that's what it's supposed to replicate, and that's what it used to replicate. There were backlot tours and how things are done kind of things. And now it's just kind of turning into Star Wars land, which is really cool. I don't mind seeing more Star Wars things, but it's losing some of that Hollywood-ness.
So I think that the Disney theme parks should take on a very popular Marvel storyline. Have you heard of the, I think it's the Battlegrounds storyline?
No.
Marvel?
I have not.
I think it's Doctor Doom creates this planet and basically invites all the different factions of Marvel superheroes and just makes them fight against each other. And so like you've got the Fantastic Four fighting the X-Men, fighting the Avengers, and it's just like this crazy alternate timeline storyline. Like they should just make a park like that with all the different properties they own, where it's just a gladiator fest of like, you know, Goofy holding a battle axe, attacking, you know, Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber, who are both being mind controlled by Professor X in a wheelchair. I don't know. Like I'm just spitballing here.
Well, so they've actually done like nothing with the Marvel properties, with the park, as far as parks go, because I think they know that down the street at Universal, there's already stuff in place. When they acquired the rights to Marvel, they didn't say, hey, you have to get rid of all your roller coasters and your rides that you have. I think part of that has just been the fact, and because of that, they haven't been as quick to jump to making Marvel properties visible at the park. Like you can see it in the stores.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have like Captain America walking around?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. I think I heard something about them redoing some of the California park to incorporate more Marvel stuff, but that's, I'm not good at Disney. Outside of watching Disney movies, which I'm very good at, I'm not great at knowing the inner workings of Disney. I had a much less exciting week, Phil, but I did get to see our number one movie of last year.
Yes!
And you know what that movie was? It was La La Land.
I'm so happy!
If that's surprising to you, you should go back to our last podcast, Top 10 Movies of 2016, and give it a listen. It's very entertaining, and you'll be impressed with how much Phil knows about movies.
Thanks, Trev.
Another good one to go back to is our top 10 TV, so long as I'm promoting stuff. Those will be great for an entire year.
Yeah. So what do you think about La La Land, Trav?
I love La La Land, and you know what? I don't have too many different opinions than what you told me on the movie podcast. We don't have to spend too much time on it. But my first takeaway was I could watch Emma Stone dance in Primary Colors for a day. Just two things that go into that. One, Emma Stone, I know we had a conversation via text about Emma Watson and her Beauty and the Beast, which is something we're going to talk about later. But Emma Stone, holy crap. Just, I thought she was incredible in this movie. And the next thing I was going to say is every shot is a painting. Like, this has some of the best cinematography I've seen in a movie in a very long time, both in nods to classic Hollywood and just I imagine how many times I would like to take a screenshot of the movie, like whatever shot I'm looking at, and just like be like, this could be a painting. I would hang this in my house. And I thought those two things going together, plus how much love it was giving to classic Hollywood movies, it just made it like you said, I had a smile on my face the entire time.
Yeah. Well, and I know some people's biggest problems is their suspension of disbelief. Like, not with the fact that they're singing in the musical, it's just kind of how the story plays out and how she went from nothing to a super famous actor in 5 years and had a kid and all these things. But I think for me, this is one of those movies that you're not supposed to ground it in reality, right? Like, it is supposed to let you feel the greatest extent of love, of dreaming, of these things without it being about this super realism that a lot of our good movies, quote, good movies, are at these days, right?
Well, and I think that that's exactly what I texted you after the movie, is that this is why I go to see movies. And from second one, you could tell that this is not going to be a movie grounded in reality at all. I think the first dance scene, or the first scene of the entire movie, is a traffic jam on an LA freeway that everyone decides to start singing and dancing. Like, suspension of disbelief, like, gone. This is not a movie in reality. And that's funny, is because one of my biggest critiques was not, I don't want to say how unrealistic it was how the movie was not grounded at all. And I don't necessarily think it had to be, but there was times where it took a step too far. Like, for example, them floating around the conservatory. I know that a lot of people are probably like that. I was not a big fan.
I'm fine with that. The things, it was more smaller things that bothered me. Like, she sang her song about going out right at the beginning of the movie as well, Emma Stone. And she wasn't planning on going out, but then she was the one driving. Like, y'all, that was piss poor planning. She shouldn't have been baking on the person who might not be coming to drive you somewhere.
Well, and I think that, and you already kind of talked about the ending of the movie, so spoiler alert. But
talk about the ending?
Just that she ends up being an actor and have kids and the whole thing.
You're right.
So very early on in the movie, there's a scene with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone looking at a Hollywood set. And at the end of the movie, they actually walk through that exact set. And I think that it's things like that that just made it feel, it made me feel happy. It made me really happy to be at that movie. The thing that I did want to say, and now I'm forgetting it. I cannot think of it at all. It was, they're talking about it reminded me a lot of the musical scenes in Hail Caesar, actually, in that obviously Hail Caesar is trying to send them up and they're trying to be, kind of make fun of them a little bit. This is doing them with full love and like full adoration of that time period. My favorite scene outside of the ending, which I think we agree is our favorite part of the movie.
Yes.
Is when they're walking back to her car and there's the dance scene and the song is the message of the song is something like, what a beautiful night and what a shame I have to spend it with you. And meanwhile, they're falling in love and dancing with each other. And I just thought that was, I'm not a huge classic musical guy, but the ones that I do love and I have seen, like Sound of Music, I've seen parts of Singing in the Rain before and it's great. Mary Poppins, like it was as exciting as the first time you saw those movies. And that's where I think this movie wins a lot of points.
Yeah. Well, and my favorite thing as far as the music goes was neither of them are world-class singers or dancers. And to me, that made it feel even more relatable. Like, if someone took the time to teach me how to dance like Ryan Gosling danced in that movie, I think I could learn it. If someone tried to teach me how to dance in a Step Up movie? No way, Jose.
Step Up to the streets.
I couldn't be in the streets, bro.
There's not too much else. I know that you kind of disagree with me here, but I would be really interested to see this movie with Miles Teller.
Nope.
That's something that kind of got thrown out into the idea. Similar to the idea in another movie that we're not going to talk about, but Rogue One, kind of the original cut of that movie, would be really interesting to me as well. And that's just one of those things that we've lost to Hollywood at this point. It's just, and not I would even say it would be a significantly better movie. I would just be interested to see how that would be.
And see, I told you one reason why I don't want to see that. The other reason is Damien Chazelle had Miles Teller for this role.
Yeah.
And then told him, never mind, different direction. So I don't know. I trust why Ryan Gosling was picked for this role instead of Miles Teller as well.
Well, Ryan Gosling is a good way to get into our actual topic of today, because we are, I don't know about you, Phil, but I am actually very excited going into 2017 with all the different movies that are coming out.
Very much so. There's lots of, I feel like there's good chances for a lot of good movies this year.
I think so.
And not like Oscar, like, oh my God, what? Like, just like movies we go to, we watch. They're fun. Exactly. They're interesting. They take us away for 2 hours, you know?
Looking at my list of movies I'm excited for and just some movies I want to talk about, there's not a whole bunch that I'm like positive are going to be in the Oscar conversation next year. There's one I can probably take a good guess at. But I do see 10 to 15 movies that I am just so excited to go sit down and watch.
Yeah, so if like you just had to pick the number one movie that you're most excited for, let's talk about that right away. Which one is that?
50 Shades Darker.
Oh my no, I'm just God, kidding. I knew it.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, for me, it's the Emoji Movie. So
those are two movies on my list that I did want to talk about. I do have to be honest with that. I honestly have to go back to my Marvel fanboy in here, yeah. which obviously developed over the last 2 years. All nerds should call me out for being a poser. I am. But Spider-Man Homecoming just creates this sense of joy, because I go back to one of my favorite movie-going experiences. I went to see the first Spider-Man by Bruce Campbell, but that's the actor. Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man with my parents, and that I just got so much excitement to see like a cartoon like on TV or on the movie screen, I'm sorry. And I think that I have that kind of genuine excitement too. I really hope, and I know it's not because it's Marvel, but I really hope it's more of a standalone movie, that it really can just exist on its own. It doesn't have all these connections to the big MCU. That's not going to happen.
No,
Robert Downey Jr. is one of the main characters.
Yeah, I was going to say Tony Stark's in it.
Yeah, but like, just if I could get a good 2 hours with Spider-Man and it just being fun, and then like at the end, all of a sudden it gets dark and he has to go fight for the Infinity Wars or whatever bullshit is going on there, I would be really happy with that. Okay. So I'm going to pick that. That's probably the one I'm most excited for. What about you?
Well, before we get to that, we have a lot of superhero movies this year.
Oh, and only like four of them are probably going to be good. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, yeah. So we have Spider-Man.
Are we going to do this? We want to do this right now?
Well, just let's talk about them real quick. We don't have to talk about each of them. We have Spider-Man. We have Thor. We have Guardians of the Galaxy. We have Logan.
See, but here we're talking about movies I want to talk about a little bit too. So, okay, we've got Thor. We've got Logan. We've got Guardians 2. We've also got
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. We've got Justice League at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to throw it in there, probably the one that's going to be the best, if I'm being honest here, is Lego Batman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm super excited for that one. That's next month.
Yeah, that's next month already. Cinemark has Lego Batman doing one of their promos, and it was so funny. It was so funny. Just yeah. Will Arnett makes me laugh.
Uh-huh. That had any... It was better... The first Lego movie was better than it had any right of being, and so I'm so excited for the Lego Batman, because Will Arnett is just great.
Yeah, and if don't correct me if I'm wrong, Phil Lord and Tim no what's it's Miller Lord uh-huh. I can't remember
yes.
what their first names are.
Yeah.
But Miller Lord, they're not directing it, but they are involved in it, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Because I know it said from the people who brought you the first one, I thought that Miller and Lord were still attached somehow, but not like writing the script or directing it, because I think they're doing the second Lego movie.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So can we talk, since we brought them up, can we talk about, we don't have to talk about them too in depth, but what your thoughts are on some of these?
I think...
Like which one, of all those movies, which one are you most excited for, taking out the Lego Batman movie?
Personally...
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, because that first one is still my favorite Marvel movie, hands down. But I think what's going to be the best overall movie mm-hmm. is probably going to be Logan. That movie, it looks really great, Trev.
Like, well, and they're
really
finally,
great.
they're finally hitting a tone that you can actually tell a dark Logan movie. You can tell it's going to be an R-rated movie. It takes its beats from the Old Man Logan comic book, even though it's not telling that story exactly, which is very interesting. That tells the story of a Logan who has seen some shit. And I think that that character is actually genuinely interesting, as opposed to the Wolverine character we've gotten, even in Days of Future Past. He was just kind of the main character we followed. There was no real emotional stakes there. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be a new side of it, and that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, so I think those two are the ones that I am just like super excited for the superhero movies go. And so, yes, I'm excited for Spider-Man. Thor is definitely at the bottom of my list, but...
Okay, I want to talk to you about why you should be excited for Thor. I'll give you two reasons. You ready for it?
The Hulk and Doctor Strange.
Yes, actually, those are my two exact reasons, Phil. So Doctor Strange is going to be in this movie. It's not confirmed. No one's saying anything about it, but there's a curious like 3 months blocked out of... Benedict Cumberbatch's schedule that no one can account for, and they're like, that's when he's filming Thor.
Yeah.
And number one is Benedict Cumberbatch and Doctor Strange will be in this movie, which is going to be interesting. The second one has to do with Hulk. Well, I don't think Hulk is a very interesting character at all in the MCU. As much as they tried to make him in Age of Ultron, it only kind of worked. Here's how this was explained to me. The way that the legal rights worked out is that Universal still actually owns the character of Hulk in any independent Hulk movies. So a lot of people were pushing for a Planet Hulk movie, which is one of the favorite storylines of Marvel fanboys. But the MCU cannot do that movie because it is a Hulk-centered movie that will be owned by Universal. So what they're doing is they're turning a Thor movie into Planet Hulk. So essentially, it's going to be more similar to Guardians of the Galaxy, where we're on worlds that don't have too much connection to, Earth, and you can kind of tell this story, and I'm sure there'll be an Infinity Stone, and it'll be, all, like I said with Spider-Man, there's going to be all this jacked up crap that has to do with the overall, continuity of the MCU, but I think the actual movie is going to be very exciting and going to be centered on some characters that we don't necessarily get to spend a lot of time with.
Yeah, which that's exciting. And the way they've led up to the promo even for it, for what's Thor doing during Civil War, right?
Yeah.
That was funny. I think they're letting a little more air into some of Thor's character, his story, all these things that wasn't there in any of the movies, right? Part of what's funny about Thor is his cluelessness as it concerns being human. But that little outtake from the end of the movie or the special features he's really funny, Trev.
Yeah.
We all learned how funny Chris, right? No, Liam.
Yeah, Chris. Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. There's a third brother that was in Westworld. I don't know his name. But Chris Hemsworth, we found out how funny he could be in Ghostbusters. And I think after they saw that, they were like, let's give this guy a little more room than we've given him in the past. And so I'm excited to see how they kind of use that and bring a little bit of levity into the Thor stories, which kind of universally are like the bottom of the barrel Marvel movies, right?
Yeah, and Dark World was bad. Like, I did watch it, and I tried to defend it. And it's not bad as compared to, like, say, early or the prequel trilogy for Star Wars, which are bad movies. It's not as good as some of the other movies, and not nearly as close as, say, Captain America 2 or Guardians of the Galaxy, which are our favorites.
Yeah.
But I think that it's interesting, and I think that this is going to give the character a chance to shine a little bit. The only other – let me start trying to think. We talked about Logan. We talked about Guardians. We talked about Spider-Man.
Wonder Woman and Justice League.
So I think Wonder Woman has a chance to turn things around for the DCEU, and I think the Justice League is going to take whatever goodwill Wonder Woman breaks up and crush it completely.
Just poop on it.
I have little faith in these movies being good. I still, like, we've talked about this. We talked about this on our movies podcast. I haven't seen Suicide Squad, and I don't think I ever will, because that's how little I care now.
Yeah.
So it's Wonder Woman, all the trailers look good. The Justice League teaser that came out made it look like it was funny, made it look like it was kind of trying to not be as bleak and serious. But I just don't trust it. I don't at all.
Yep, me either. Right there with you.
So the only other movie that's, I think, tangentially related to comic books that I do think is worth bringing up here, and I'm excited for it. You judge me all you want. Power Rangers.
Well, so I was going to ask a question, Trav.
Uh-huh.
Which of these three movies do you think is going to be the biggest dumpster fire?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for this question.
The Mummy.
Oh, my God.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
Transformers. It was four. Transformers.
Yes, again.
Or Power Rangers.
Okay. Real talk, I think Power Rangers is going to be good, and I know
the trailer looked terrible.
I know I'm going to be disappointed. I thought the trailer looked interesting. I thought the trailer
looked so bad. It looks so cheesy.
It reminds me of Transformers 1, where you're like, "This is bullshit. This is not a good movie." But boy, is it kind of fun. And that's kind of what I'm expecting for the Power Rangers movie. It looks like, wow, this is not the Power Rangers I grew up with. This is not what I want out of a Power Rangers movie at all. But it's what I'm getting, and I'm going to have to just be happy about it.
I'm more excited to see the new XXX than I am to see the Power Rangers movie.
So we're disagreeing on this one. But to answer your question, I think the biggest dumpster fire of them all has got to be Transformers, because I don't trust that any movie in that series isn't going to be a dumpster fire from here on out.
Yeah, but at least that's their bar, right? Is like dumpster fire.
But that doesn't, just because you expect a dumpster fire doesn't mean it can't be an impressive dumpster fire.
Yeah,
right?
But like, so I think for me, I have no idea why they're remaking The Mummy. I didn't know there was a desire for more people to see The Mummy.
Did you know that Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe are in it, though?
Yes, I did.
Like, why?
And Tom Cruise dies in a plane crash, and then some mummy powers bring him back to life. I don't know.
Oh my God. If 10 years ago, I think I would have been really into that.
Well, exactly. And like, I really enjoyed the original Mummies. I thought Brendan Fraser was great in the original Mummies. It was a very fond part of my childhood. At no point was I like, hey, we need more Mummy. I miss that in my life.
I would enjoy, I'll be honest with you, if we got Tom Cruise from Tropic Thunder and Russell Crowe from The Nice Guys just in a Mummy movie, like with no explanation.
So I think that one's going to be really bad. But I think the one that I'm most disappointed about that it's going to be awful is Pirates, because I had that moment when I was on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Disney World when it was like, God, that first movie was really freaking good. Just like really good. And every single Pirates of the Caribbean movie after that has just been awful.
I'm not positive in saying this, but I think we have a lot to do with the director, because the guy who directed The Ring directed the first one, and I don't think he's directed one since.
The first one was so good.
And it was just, because what it was, hey, someone was like, hey, here's a complete corporate synergy movie. We own this right. It's not going to cost us anything. We've got this big name actor. Let's just plop out a 70% movie. It's okay, whatever, and do this. And that guy took it and was like, no, I'm going to make a really good movie. Because he probably looked at the script and was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And that hasn't happened since. It's been corporate synergy from there on out.
Well, it's that I don't know if it revitalized Johnny Depp's career, but it gave him another avenue to go down, you know,
Instead of Tim Burton movies.
But every single role is a variation of Jack Sparrow at this point since then, except I think Black Mass. He's a weird guy who is kind of all over the place. Like, that is Johnny Depp now. He hasn't done anything very different since then. And so I think that that first movie is incredible. I think one of the just great blockbuster movies that told a great story, told an interesting story. He took it from a freaking Disney ride where there's not really any story to it.
Well, there's enough story to where they had to fix it to be less rapey.
Yeah, because of the song. And Orlando Bloom's back, so I don't know what that says.
Okay, back from what? That's my question.
He left after the third one.
Yeah, I know, but what has he been doing that's been keeping him so busy?
Being on Easy, Trav, one of your favorite shows.
Yeah, for one episode.
No, it's a joke. He was also in The Hobbit.
Yeah, well, I think he's contractually obligated to be.
Which is funny because Legolas isn't part of the Hobbit movies. but or the book. Sorry. And then Javier Bardem is the villain, and Jeffrey Rush is back in it too. So I want it to be good, Trav. This is the one out of all of those that I want to be good, and I know it's not going to be good.
I have nothing to add to that conversation, so I'm going to ask you a different question, Phil. Okay. What movie are you looking forward to the most in 2017, and why is it Cars 3?
Actually, Cars 3, one, is not the Pixar movie I'm looking forward to the most. Definitely looking forward to it. It looks, the trailer looks better than the first two movies. But Coco is the Pixar movie I'm most looking forward to, Trav.
You know what? I am too. So I'm glad that I can continue pushing off the movie you're looking forward to the most to talk about shit I want to talk about.
But Coco looks really great. And it focuses around the Dia de los Muertos. It is focused on a Mexican family. So I'm really excited for Coco.
Well, and I think that's, it's an important step. And I think it's something that Disney as a whole is doing very well. But it's Pixar's particularly first film focused on a non-white protagonist.
And people.
And what?
People. Well, I guess people? Incredibles. I forgot about that one for a moment. Never mind. I retract what I just said.
And Inside Out, technically.
Well, yeah, but that was more about the emotions than Riley.
Emotions that make up people. Anyways.
Yes.
But no, I'm with you. I did want to bring up Cars 3 because there was a trailer before Rogue One that made Cars 3 look like, you know, the godfather of Cars movies. It's like, oh my God, he's crashing. What's going to happen? And at the same, like in the back of my head, I go, this could go the route of Ricky Bobby. Like, this could be like just he's silly, he's crazy, and now nothing of import actually happens.
Yeah, you know, but also, can you imagine being still a young kid who loves cars and you just see your hero crash like that?
And they just show it in the trailer, so now some little kid's got like 3 months where he's like, what's going to happen to Lightning McQueen?
And that's like all the posters is just him upside down, like,
yeah.
Just they're like terrorizing kids.
Like what if the poster for Toy Story 2 is just Woody hanging in a noose? that would completely destroy me as a child.
Or it's like his head was ripped off. And you're like, oh yeah. My God. Fluff everywhere.
But Phil, finally.
Okay.
What is the movie you're looking forward to most in 2017?
It's a tough one.
I have a guess.
I don't know if you're going to guess this. I think for me, it's War of the Planet of the Apes.
All right. That's something I can talk about.
I feel like those first two movies are so just forgotten about and are just like really great movies.
I do think that the second one was like a half an hour too long, but other than that, it's incredible. But yeah. Tell me why you're so excited for it.
One, what's his face? Andy Serkis, Serkis, who did Gollum in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. His motion capture for this ape, Caesar, is incredible. Just like, they look so real. My mom's super creeped out by them, which is great. And the stories have just progressed in such a great way, and they're not using the same human actors. Like, this is a movie about Caesar, you know?
Yeah,
the second movie was about Caesar.
Yeah,
and not
about
Caesar. James Franco. But, like, that first movie when Caesar was in the cages with Draco Malfoy antagonizing him, like, those are some of the most like emotional scenes. It's about an animal. Like it does such a good job of getting sympathy for these apes, but also realize like a little bit why they could be really scary too, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's to me the most powerful moment of the series to this point is still in the first movie when the first time Caesar says no.
Oh yeah, he just yells it.
Yeah, he just looks at me and yells no. And you're like, holy crap,
yep.
Things are getting real. And like you said, I'm really excited that this movie can kind of, that the series can kind of jump and kind of be what it needs to be. And that it is actually about Caesar, that we had James Franco taking up the human role in the first one, and you could argue that it was both of their movie. The first time, but the next time it was all about Gary Oldman, what he's going to do about Caesar and his army. And this one, but this time it's Woody Harrelson is your main lead actor. Yep. I think that's just the story they're telling there is really interesting, and it's one of those where I'm happy that I don't get a movie every single year, and that there's four different, you know, timelines going on in the extended Planet of the Apes universe, that this is just, I'm going to get a movie every couple years, and it's going to be a very good movie, and we're going to go on, we're going to make the next one.
Yeah, and so I've never been watching one of those movies and been like, oh, I wish I was watching something else, or like, they suck you in, and I'm a big fan of them. I think this new one looks great. Their monkeys are riding horses. They have guns. Like, stuff's about to go down, Trav.
Yeah. What's the other one? So you said between that one and what other one?
Beauty and the Beast.
That's the one I thought it was going to be. Uh-huh. So don't tell me I don't know you.
I never said that. But it looks great. Like, beautiful. Like, just so pretty when you see the trailers and... Then you hear Emma Watson sing a little bit, and then you see how it is very similar to... That's my only concern, actually, is that it might be... Hopefully, it's not too similar. Like, did they just give us an updated version with real people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you two things that one is not surprising at all, but the other one might be. I'm excited for how accurately they're kind of portraying the cartoon. I sent you the image of Emma Watson in all the different Belle costumes, and the one that stood out for me the most wasn't actually the yellow dress. It was the blue and white one she wears at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. That I thought it looks like something a human would actually wear, but it also looks exactly like it did in the cartoon.
Yeah. Well, and did you know Emma Watson refused to wear a corset for this feature film?
I did hear that because that's a big deal, and that's what the god Emma Watson can do when she wants to.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Like I said before, like seeing Emma Stone in La La Land, I was like, God, she's good. And I'm like, I went from being like, I'm super positive that Emma Watson's going to be like the best thing in a musical I've seen in a long time to like, I'm not exactly positive. And you know what? That goes into the surprising thing I wanted to tell you. I refuse to listen to Emma Watson sing any of the songs before the movie. I did not listen to what's coming out.
Did you see the trailer?
I saw the trailer. Heard her. I heard part of it. Yeah. So I know she can sing, but I know that it came out like a little clip of a song.
No, I've only watched the trailers too.
So I'm very excited for this. It's up there for one of my favorite movies of the year. Can I give you a Beauty and the Beast hot take that I've been hanging on to for a while?
Nope. I refuse to hear it now, Trav. It's been too long.
One of the best songs in Beauty and the Beast, probably the third best song, because I can't argue against the top two, is There Might Be Something There That Wasn't There Before.
Yeah.
That is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to argue Beauty and the Beast, which I think is one of the great Disney songs of all time, and Be Our Guest is just so much fun. But right below that is that song. I love it.
Yeah, well, I'm very partial to Guest Don. I could that song.
No one drinks like Guest Don. Yeah. No one, yeah.
And you know, people are proud of how hairy he is. They're like, that's a good thing. I was like, I wish I lived in a time.
Well, he's hairy and large, so you're missing part of that.
That's irrelevant.
But we've talked about this before. Looking forward to kind of the reimagining that Disney's doing with some of their properties. I could see it go poorly, but with the way Disney's been firing at all cylinders lately, I'm trusting him.
Yeah. So I have a friend, this is a theory, that my friend from undergrad threw out. She thinks Gaston is gay and only wants Belle for his beard.
I would not be surprised by that at all.
Yeah.
He hits a lot of the gay stereotypes, really good in shape. You know, as much as they say he was hairy, like he when he's chesting out, it doesn't look like that in the cartoon.
No.
You know?
Well, and here's her reasons.
Okay.
She said, who goes fromping around in their boots?
And who sold? Don't need anything else. Bopping around in their boots.
And she goes, "Who brags about using antlers in all of their decorating?" And I was like,
"Well, then I'm laughing because hunters, people who hunt a lot, do."
But would they say, "I use antlers in all of my decorating"?
They would not. That's not how they would describe it.
So, so that those were her two reasons why.
Oh my God! Okay. So
Beauty and the Beast is going to be dope.
Beauty and the Beast is going to be great. So this transitions to me. I want to talk about. I pulled up the most popular feature films released in 2017 page on IMDb. Okay. So obviously this is forecasting.
Okay.
What I assume is these are the pages that get the most traffic, or most people say that, hey, I want to see this movie, and I'm going to give you the top five, and you're going to slap me across the computer, but you can't blame me. It's the internet.
Okay.
Number one by popularity is Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Number two is XXX, Return of Xander Cage.
Nice.
Which, quick side note, never watch XXX. Don't care.
I've seen that first movie way too many times, Trav. Like, I'm legitimately excited to go see this new XXX movie.
So did the second one, when Ice Cube was XXX, did that disappoint you?
Well, you know, was it the same? Because it wasn't Xander Cage just doing Xander Cage things. That's how I remember the first XXX is how I heard Drowning Pool's Bodies for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a transformative time in any young man's life.
Yeah. And I think I was in fifth, sixth grade, maybe. Oh, man. Love XXX. It's a terrible movie, but just a very big part of my childhood. Okay, keep going.
Number three is Justice League.
Okay.
Number four is 50 Shades Darker.
Okay.
Number five, and I've been scratching my head this whole time. Number five, Death Race 2050.
The hell?
What the hell is this movie?
I don't know. What? I wasn't expecting that.
Director G.J. Ektekamp stars Manu Bennett and Malcolm McDowell with Marcy Miller and Burt Grinstead. And then Cars 3, The Bye Bye Man, Alien Covenant. We could talk about Alien Covenant for a second, but like all these movies.
How is that? Like, they have this movie, but like, I feel like the Fast and Furious movie should be in there.
Well, but it's already got a 3.2 rating, and it hasn't even come out yet. So I don't know what it's doing. This doesn't make sense.
I'm confused.
The Bye Bye Man is actually, some people are excited for it. It's not our kind of movie, so I'm just going to skip it. Covenant.
You don't watch the Fast and Furious movies, right?
No, I've not seen one. Oh,
man, they're
Fast
so good.
Four,
that's maybe. Also a really important part of my life.
That's something that I can't contribute, so we're just going to say that Phil's really excited for the Fate of the Furious.
Super excited.
I think it's really clever that they work the number 8 into the word fate.
They're great at naming things about being fast and furious. Quick and angry, you know?
So Alien Covenant. This is Alien Covenant, a.k.a. Prometheus 2, a.k.a. Alien -1, maybe?
Like, I get why you should be excited for this, but I haven't seen any of those movies.
Neither do I. I care. And it is something. I just bought all of them, and I know that watching Alien and Aliens is pretty important. I also feel like watching Prometheus, I might enjoy that a little bit just because I like... what's his name? Not Damon Lindelof, the other one. Carlton Cuse was in this. No, it was Damon Lindelof. I typically like what Damon Lindelof does. But I can't care that much because I don't know yet. And the other one, which was originally what I was going to transition from, why I brought up the guys, Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Yeah. I plan on watching the original Blade Runner here shortly. I tried to go see it. They're showing at the theater near me. And I got there like 15 minutes early. It was sold out.
Yeah, and that's one where if it's ever on a big screen, I feel like I need to go see it. But that's another one where like you have to watch the right version of it. Like the director's cut is apparently the best one.
Everyone has an opinion on which one to watch.
Yeah, so I'll just pick one and go.
Yeah. Trav, what's any sequels you're excited about?
Any sequels I'm excited about? I'm sure there's one that I'm thinking about. or that I'm thinking of that hasn't come up yet. What are you thinking about that we should talk about?
There's, I think, two that I'm excited for.
Okay.
John Wick 2.
Oh, yeah. Super excited. John Wick Chapter 2.
Like, that first movie was so much better than it had any reason to be.
Yeah.
So, like, Keanu was great. The action was really, really great. But the one that I'm most excited for is Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Oh, yeah. Those are both going to be fun. Is the director back for Kingsman?
It's a good question. That first movie was also just, it like came out of nowhere. It was super British, super over the top.
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn is still directing it.
Okay.
And Colin Firth is in it somehow.
Yeah, which he was shot in the head. So, yeah. But like Channing Tatum's in it.
You assume that everybody has seen the movies you have when you listen to this podcast. It's like, been out, by the ending.
It's been out for over 2 years. Like, they've had their chance.
I know. I'm just me. It takes me 4 years to get around to watching any movie I want to see. So,
they had their chance.
Don't ruin Blade Runner for me. I heard he's not a replicant. So.
But look who else is in this movie, Trav. Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore. Halle Berry. Pedro Pascal, who played Oberon in Game of Thrones, and Jeff Bridges. I'm so excited for.
It's going to be good. That one. So the reason I like both those movies is you kind of hit the nail on the head. They are just fun. They are fun. And I expect more of the same. And that's kind of one of the best reasons to go see movies. Like, as much as we like seeing movies that are critically acclaimed and make us think and, you know, can do all this stuff, like, when you go and just have fun, that's something that's hard to replace.
Yeah, so much so. So I think those will be great. Trav, there's a movie that I think both of us are really excited for, but also anxious for.
So that's the one I want to talk about next, because I actually have to revamp my answer. This is probably the movie I'm most excited for, but I'm going to talk about a different one related first.
Okay.
Do you have any interest in the It movie?
Nope, zero. Not even a tiny bit.
I refused
to watch that growing up. Like, the thought of poster, that with Pennywise.
The poster of Pennywise staring at me has been terrifying me this entire time.
Nope, I'm not. Won't. Can't. Nope.
But, The Dark Tower is either going to be my favorite movie of all time, or it's going to make me sad. Like, I don't think there's a middle ground here.
No, for sure. And it's not going to be, it's jumping all over the place. We know that already, right?
The main story that's being told, for those of you who have read The Dark Tower, which if you haven't, it's an investment. It's a huge series, but you should. I like it a lot. Phil, you haven't finished it yet.
No,
right?
I have like 3 books left. But
yeah,
how many have I read? 4.
You've read 4, yeah.
Yeah, so they've all been very good.
Yeah, the next 3 just kind of all go. They're more like sequel books, like almost Harry Potter, where you kind of got to feel like you got to read the next one so they go quicker. But the thing about The Dark Tower is it ties all of Stephen King together. And some people are theorizing that The Dark Tower is the hope of kind of building a Stephen King expanded universe, which is interesting.
Guessing they've made like so many movies and TV shows based off the works of Stephen King already.
Yeah, but like basically kind of that gives them an excuse to say like, oh, well, now this is the one that fits in to here. And it would be really interesting. And you've read enough to understand the point here. It'd be really interesting to look at a book like or look at another different movie of Salem's Lot, or maybe a TV show or something, and then have that actually tie in to The Dark Tower. So when Per Callahan shows up in The Dark Tower, we have introduction, we have some context. And for me, I never read Salem's Lot, so I just knew him as a character in the Dark Tower series. And I think that'd be interesting to kind of get that same thing. That the book readers got who love Stephen King into the movies. But just on a movie standpoint, Matthew McConaughey, Idris Elba, it's
Matthew McConaughey is the man in black, right?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey is playing the man in black.
Oh man, and Idris Elba's playing Roland. I'm so excited.
It's going to be a fantastic movie.
And at least through the process of filming it, Idris Elba seemed really excited about it, right?
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I do like about all of these people, and I'm going to butcher the director's name, Nicolas Arcel.
Okay.
But all of them come out and they seem like it is a passion project. The story about Stephen King is he sees himself as a writer first and foremost, and that's it. So that's why he'll literally sell his writing to anyone and anyone who wants it. But he would not sell The Dark Tower. He would not sell the rights to The Dark Tower, and he ends up selling it for $7 when all is said and done, because there's an importance to the number 7 throughout the series.
Yeah.
Can you hear that annoying bell?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But
I'm excited there. I know we've got to finish up, and we're going to go rapid fire on a few, but there's two more that I kind of want to talk about, or no, at least one more that I really want to talk about in depth a little bit, and that's going to be Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that every time we're talking about 2017 movies, like Dunkirk falls under the wayside, and that has a potential of being probably one of the best movies of the year.
Well, it seems out of line for Christopher Nolan, because it doesn't seem like it's not.
Does it?
This, I don't know. It seems really straightforward.
And this is my argument, and it's something that I've read before, so I'm not taking credit for it. I think I think if I'm lifting the idea, it might actually be from Chris Ryan. So we'll just continue this trend here. But the argument is that his best movie, and you can disagree with me on this if you want, but his best movie is The Dark Knight. And that was also his most straightforward movie. There's no big twist. There's no big psychological mind game. It's here's a really interesting character who's psychologically flawed in Batman, and here's another really interesting character who's psychologically flawed in the Joker. What happens when they butt heads to the extreme? And I think that Dunkirk is going to be different than, say, Interstellar, or even Dark Knight Rises got a little cute with some of the stuff it was doing, where Dunkirk is just going to be a story about a man dealing with war.
I know he can tell a straightforward story. It was more of like all his original properties have not been straightforward stories, was the point I was making.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's what feels out of character. Like with Batman, he has to kind of tell a more straightforward story. Like You can't have a Batman movie that was all a dream, right? Or there's a dream inside of a dream. Yes, I don't think so. You could, I guess. But so that's, I don't know. I saw the trailer and I was expecting like, ooh, what's going to be the weird thing? Does he go up into space? Are there aliens who are going to be invading Dunkirk? No, it was just, and I'm okay with that, but I think it tapered my excitement a little bit.
See, part of me thinks that Chris Nolan is now sitting here being like, look, I don't always have to do Interstellar. I don't always have to do The Prestige or Inception. I can make a very good movie.
Or Memento.
But again, you do that, and Memento is the only one you add. The Prestige, Inception, Memento, and Interstellar. Then it's Batman Begins, which is pretty straightforward, The Dark Knight, which is very straightforward, and The Dark Knight Rises, which just gets a little too cute with the formula. And now if within Dunkirk, you've almost got, you've got five weird movies and four straightforward movies. Maybe this is Chris Nolan's thing to be like, hey, look, give me a lot of money and I can still make just a very good movie. I keep going back to the scene in the trailer with the half-sunken sub and the boat coming up to it. That is just a gorgeous shot. That is just a very good, you know, filmmaker being very good.
Yeah, and there's definitely no question about that.
Okay. So let's fire off some stuff.
One that I want to bring up, it's a really good book. Dave Eggers is one of my favorite authors of all time. It's The Circle with Tom Hanks, Emma Watson, Patton Oswalt, John Boyega. And so it's a really great book. I read it, I don't know, 4 years ago, about technology or use of technology. A very Google or Apple-like company kind of takes the focus.
Oh, I remember. I've been wanting to read this book.
Yeah, so it's excellent and just really interesting. So I'm excited for that movie. The cast looks great. Yeah.
You know what movie I'm looking – you're going to make fun of me so much. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for your response. You know what movie I'm actually looking forward to quite a bit?
What one?
Baywatch.
No, I'm not making fun of you, actually. It has The Rock.
Jack Efron.
I could never heard him call that before. That's really funny. I don't know. And it the trailer seemed very self-aware of what it was doing.
And that's one where I was so out on this movie until I saw the trailer, and the trailer was like, yeah, this is a big old fucking joke. And I'm like, oh, good.
And
this
Alexander Daddario, who is in True Detective season one, and just how they played with Zac Efron staring at her chest, and how that was, she was like it's very self-aware of what it's doing. Yeah. And kind of the same way 21 Jump Street was when it first came back, right?
That was actually the vibe I was getting. I was going to say it felt like it had 21 Jump Street vibe. Yeah. So I'm excited for that. What's something else you're pumped for?
Where did it go? I can't wait to go see this, but like I'll definitely see it. Is Pitch Perfect 3. The first two were just silly. The first one was really good. The second one was meh. But I'm definitely going to be seeing Pitch Perfect 3.
That's one of those where you know how bad I am at seeing movies. I'm kind of letting those go. I'll focus on other stuff. Another one that might fall into that category for me, but as of right now, I'm pretty excited for is Kong Skull Island.
Mm-hmm. Tom Hiddleston's in it. He's on a roll right now.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston's in it. I just
Golden Globe.
John Goodman's been in a lot of good stuff lately, and he seems like it's going to be a fun movie that kind of gets the idea that, like, similar to the Godzilla reboot a little while ago, like, you're best when you hide your huge monster somewhere, and then it's not like the end of a Marvel movie for the entirety of a movie.
Yeah. You know what other movie I'm excited for, Trav?
What?
It stars young Spider-Man and my dude Charlie Hunnam. The Lost City of Z.
What is that one? I don't know if I know about that one.
It is about a group of explorers who disappear while searching for a mysterious city in the Amazon in the 1920s. And it's already been showed at a few festivals a while back, and has gotten really good reviews already. People say it's great. Charlie Hunnam, they said, is really great in it too, which makes me happy. I'm so glad he bailed on 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, that was a great career move. I'm sorry.
It was. Why are you sorry? It was a good idea.
Because I'm sure he would have made a great Christian Grey, and all the women would have loved him, and he would have been like a superstar. But at least he's not
Christian Grey.
Christian Grey.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for this. It's supposed to be pretty solid.
So I'm going to shout out. My roommate actually told me to keep an eye on this one. A movie called A Ghost in the Shell. Have you heard of this?
Yes, with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, and so apparently the way he described it to me is where The Watchmen is like comic book fans are like, if you don't like comic books, read The Watchmen and you'll see why you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And if you've read it, that is probably one of the best comic books ever. I think it was six issues that got pushed together. But that is incredible. And so what my roommate explained to me for this is he said that Ghost in the Shell is The Watchmen for anime. People who don't like anime, they're like, watch Ghost in the Shell and you will get it. You will get why this art could be something worthwhile.
Yeah.
And so I don't know much about it other than it's going to be good, or that he's excited for it and he thinks it's going to be good. So that's why I'm kind of looking forward to that one a little bit.
I know some people were pissed with the whole whitewashing of it though. So that just something to kind of keep in mind while thinking about a movie like that was originally anime especially.
Yeah.
Another movie I'm excited for, Trav, it's a horror movie.
Ooh.
It's called Get Out. It's directed and written by Jordan Peele.
Oh, I've heard about this one, yeah.
And so it is about, he's actually the guy that's in one your favorite episode of Black Mirror, who rides the bike over and over again.
Okay.
He goes to visit his white girlfriend's family, which the girlfriend is played by Allison Williams from Girls.
I have a huge crush on her.
Her parents are, I don't know who the woman is, but Bradley Whitford, who is in The West Wing and Brief Role in
Transparent. Billy Madison.
Yeah, Billy Madison as well.
That's what we all know him from.
No, I think more people probably know him from The West Wing. But so that happens. Keith Stanfield, who is in Atlanta, also in this movie. And so he goes and visits his white girl's friend's family. Everything seems fine. And then there's something wrong with all the black people that visited this family, that have interacted with this family, that they seem brainwashed, that there's something there. And I'm really excited for this movie.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. It might be one of the rare horror movies I have to go see.
Yep. Jordan Peele, getting it done.
One thing, I'm not going to count this as my movie, but I think it says a lot as far as how much we care about this stuff. Something that it's almost been an hour and we haven't brought up. Star Wars Episode 8.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm no doubt I'm going to see that the day it comes out, and I'm going to love it, and I'm going to be all about it. It's just not something I think about in the front of my head.
No, because we just got Rogue One and have to wait until December for Episode 8.
Yeah, well, I'm really happy you see this week Disney came out and said that they have no plans of digitally recreating Leia. Carrie Fisher for the Episode 9, even though that was kind of their plan to have Leia be a main part there. I thought that was a good idea, especially because we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I did not like Tarkin
being
in that movie.
This is really off-putting.
Yeah. I guess where I stand, the little bit of Leia at the end, I thought unnecessary but kind of cool.
Yes.
But the fact that Tarkin was like a main character, like, ooh.
Yeah. And it's funny because I know they did that with the last Fast and Furious movie, but it wasn't noticeable.
Yeah. Well, and the difference is there, at least that person was there for most of the movie, or at least part of it.
That's true.
So I think there's a difference there. The one that I'm actually going to say I'm excited for, and very, like, very cautiously so, Guy Ritchie's making a King Arthur movie.
Yes, with Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be good. Like, it seems like it's got that Sherlock vibe where it's like maybe not the best movie ever made, but it's fun.
Yes. Oh, man. I meant to bring that up after talking about Charlie Hunnam. Yeah. And Jude Law is in this one too, so.
That's one where I'm cautiously optimistic that King Arthur by Guy Ritchie is like the exact thing Guy Ritchie needs to make another good movie.
I miss, like, Snatch and Locked, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels are two of my favorite movies of all time.
Rock and Roll, I think, might even be better than some of those.
I don't agree with that. But, well, that's a conversation for another time.
Snatch is the best one, though, right?
Yes, hands down, okay, Snatch.
At least we could agree on that one.
And then, what else did I want to talk about?
I can keep reading from your top movies.
No, here we go. This is one that I just stumbled upon, had no idea it was coming out, and I sent it to you the other day, is The Yellowbirds.
Oh, yeah. Is that next year coming out already?
It's started screening at, like, festivals and stuff January of this year, so.
That's one of both of our favorite books, I think.
Yeah, it's really emotional. The cast is really great. Aiden Allrich, who's playing young Han Solo and was unbelievable in Hail Caesar, is in it, so. Jennifer Aniston. It's really emotional and about war and about coming home from war. And yeah, it should be good.
Two sequels I think neither of us care about, but are worth mentioning is T2, Trainspotting 2.
Yes, which I do want to watch the first one. That first one's supposed to be one of, like, a really great movie.
Oh, we didn't watch it together. I didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong there, but it was not a movie for me. So I have no excitement for the second one. And then Rings is coming out.
Oh, yes. Also, World War Z 2, another sequel to throw in there.
I refuse to watch that movie, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, because the book was such an interesting, nuanced tale about what life would actually be like in a zombie apocalypse, and it seemed like they took that and just made a dumb zombie movie.
It wasn't a bad zombie movie.
It was dumb.
It was entertaining.
Okay.
It wasn't nuanced like the book, but it was an entertaining movie.
I know we made a joke about it, but in case you were curious, the Emoji Movie is coming out this year.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, another sequel that we haven't talked about, Trav. The Smurfs movie.
Despicable Me 3 as well.
Oh, that too, yes. Don't forget about those. I never saw the second one, or I never saw Minions either.
Yeah, I don't think you're missing too much. You know what I just saw? Okay, I just saw the preview for it before I saw Rogue One. The Boss Baby might be laugh.
Oh, Alec
Baldwin is playing
Baldwin.
A baby.
Yeah. another movie, it just came out, I think last week or Friday, it was Patriots Day.
Oh, that one, it shouldn't be good, but it's getting a lot of good critical reception.
It's Pete Berg and Mark Wahlberg. You know, they did Lone Survivor, they did Darkwater Horizon. Like, they make those movies work somehow.
Yeah. Deepwater Horizon, just clarifying.
What did I say, Darkwater?
Dark, yeah.
You know, so, it was dark the whole time.
It was dark, yeah. You know, there's that. Yeah.
But by Silence the way, also came out nationally, which I was going to go see it yesterday, and then I was like, 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I was like, oh, I don't think I can commit that much time today.
Yeah. The new Saw movie is coming out. By the way, if you're looking for like the best movies coming out in 2017, doing the top movies on IMDb by popularity is not the way to do it.
No.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah. Oh, that might come out this year. Super Troopers 2. That's interesting.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, Emmanuel Sheik. I can't say her last name. Sheikri Sloan from.
Oh, okay.
Apparently she's in it. That's interesting.
Do you have any interest in seeing the Captain Underpants film?
I loved the books as a kid, but I don't think I'd get into it at all.
Yeah. Ed Helms is Captain Underpants.
Yeah, good for Ed Helms.
Wait, do you know who's in this movie, Trav?
No. I went right by it, I'll be honest with you.
It's DreamWorks made.
Okay.
It's animated.
Yeah.
There's Kevin Hart.
Okay.
There's Kristen Shaw. There's Nick Kroll. There's Ed Helms. There's Jordan Peele. There is Thomas Middleditch.
Okay, but every single time you look at one of those movies, like Sing that just came out, I'm not going to go see that. But like you look at the cast and it's like, oh, this is a really good cast.
Those were like good actors. These are all really funny people.
Yeah. I mean,
and Christian Shaw does great voice work. We know this.
Until it's Bob's Burgers, the movie, I don't think it's going to send me in the right direction.
I had no idea what I felt about it, but that I'm in on who's all in that movie.
I'll wait for it. It's that I'm definitely not opposed to seeing it. yeah, I'm at 200 right now, and Splinter Cell was an announced movie that apparently is coming out. So this is a bullshit list I'm looking at. I don't care. And Power Rangers is on the number one on this other list I'm looking at.
Screw the. I really think that's going to be a bad movie.
It's good. I'm not even cautiously optimistic. I'm just optimistic because I like getting my heart broken, I guess.
I'm not even a slight bit. I think it's going to be so bad, but I'll probably see it.
It's not going to be good. Phil, I love talking about movies and TV with you, and we only talked about movies. So let's talk about...
One more thing. The Great Wall.
I had it on my list as a joke, and it made me so sad I couldn't even bring it up. That movie looks so bad, and it's in a preview for every single movie I've gone to in the last 2 months.
It looks so awful.
Like, good for you, dude. I was almost called a Mark Wahlberg.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Good for you, Matt Damon. Getting paid. I'm sure they paid you a bunch for that movie. You probably can donate it all to water.org.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Jesus, that looks like a shitty movie.
Oh, the Chips movie looks relatively funny as well.
Is that a remake of like an 80s TV show?
Yeah, with Dax Shepard and Michael Pena.
Okay. That was number 10 on that list I was looking at.
Okay. I had one other one that I was trying to think of, but I can't recall.
Well, like I was trying to close it up before. Talking movies. I love talking movies with you. I'm looking forward to watching talking TV with you next week. Next week, you want to talk about Taboo and the Young Pope?
Yeah. And I watched the first two episodes of Unfortunate Events, the series of Unfortunate Events.
You know what? I'll hit that one this weekend too. So or this week too. So we'll be able to talk about all three of those shows next week.
Also, I haven't watched it, but I've heard one, it makes a great binge watch, and also it has a really good cast.
Don't tell me to watch the OA.
No, I don't want to watch that.
I have no desire to watch the OA. I'm sorry. I heard it's good.
Sneaky Pete.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
On Amazon.
Yeah.
It has Giovanni Ribisi and Bryan Cranston.
Okay. Well, I know for sure we're going to talk about those first three shows next week. But before we get out of here, what's something...
And Margot Martindale. I almost forgot. Sorry.
Character actress Margot Martindale?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
It's funny that I love her so much, and like that was such a big feature of BoJack, which is a show I love so much.
Yep.
What's something else that we didn't talk about that we consumed this week? My favorite thing was La La Land. I already got to talk about it. So
I watched the Steve Jobs movie, the Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, do you like it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Were you upset that it's probably like 94% inaccurate?
I don't care. It was an entertaining movie. I haven't watched an Aaron Sorkin thing in a long time, and I forgot how his dialogue just draws you in when it's working and firing on all cylinders. Well, and then it made me think of The Social Network, and I'm like, that movie was so incredible. How did it not win Best Picture?
What did it lose to? I bet it lost to... Didn't it lose like 12 Years a Slave?
No, it was like Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, Slumdog Millionaire is a great movie, though.
It wasn't better than The Social Network. Or no, it was...
So I typed in Social Network Best Picture Oscar, and the first search is Social Network should have won Best Picture.
Did it say what it was?
Hang on. I got it pulling up.
Oh, no. King's Speech. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. I did love the King's Speech, but...
It was a good movie. Social Network was incredible.
Yeah. King's Speech was really good, though.
Wasn't better, though.
No. I if The Social Network won, I would probably be sitting here being like, yeah, but the King's Speech.
No, I don't think so.
No, I know. So that's exciting. Phil, I need to get out of here. If you Me heard too. The bells, I'm at work. So hopefully no one at work listens to this podcast.
And I'm going to the movies.
Bye, Phil.
See you, Trev.